This is professional wrestling savior, one half of Death by Elbow, the Juice, JT Dunn. And right now, you're listening to another wrestling podcast.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at
the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
They got the answers. I changed the question.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
These are the best in the world, brother. These are the best at what they do.
When we talk about the legends of the sport, there's only two in my book.
Another wrestling podcast.
Another wrestling podcast. Now can you dig that, sucker?
Welcome, everybody, to another wrestling podcast. This is episode number 85. I'm Jonathan Benjamin.
And I'm Steve Credo.
Steve, we have huge, did I mention huge breaking news. What can you tell all the listeners of another wrestling podcast this week?
Jonathan, Poughkeepsie area. We're from Poughkeepsie. We're from the Northeast. Jonathan, the Northeast debut of Global Force Wrestling is happening in our backyard on January 22nd, 2016. Everybody, if you're listening out there, head on over to MidHudsonCivicCenter.org, head on over to GlobalForceWrestling.com, head on over to AnotherWrestlingPodcast.com, Jonathan, because Global Force Wrestling is coming to Poughkeepsie, New York. And Jonathan, that's not all. Global Force is going to be in town. Jeff Jarrett's going to be there. Cole Cabana, Bobby Roode, Brian Myers, Sanjay Dutt. Jonathan, it's going to be crazy.
Well,
it's going to be great.
It's going to be amazing, but you seem to have left off the biggest stars that are going to be at the Global Force Wrestling debut in Poughkeepsie, New York, and that is yours truly and yours truly. Another wrestling podcast is going to make their Global Force Wrestling debuts. We're going to be doing all kinds of things. We highly urge all of you to go out, buy the VIP tickets, because not only will you get to sit in one of the first couple rows for the entire main or the entire wrestling show, but you're going to be there when we host live Q&As with some of Global Force Wrestling's greatest stars.
That's right, Jonathan. We're going to have more of that info in the days to come, so make sure you stick around and check us out on social media. Check us out on our Facebook page. You can find all that information on AnotherWrestlingPodcast.com. Jonathan, it's going to be a great time in Poughkeepsie, and we can't wait for it. So there you go, guys. Global Force Wrestling, the debut in the Northeast, is happening in Poughkeepsie, New York, so stay tuned for that. But Jonathan, you know, joining us today also, we have with us JT Dunn, independent sensation right now. It's pretty much, you know, taking over the world in wrestling. Jonathan, a little bit of information about him before he joins us?
Yes, Steve. JT Dunn, as you mentioned, an amazing independent pro wrestler all over the place. He is, you can see him in Beyond Wrestling. More notably, he's going to be around here in our backyard soon, wrestling for Northeast Wrestling. And he is one of those rare talents that you can kind of put him in any situation. And as we'll talk to him about it, we're going to get into some of the intergender matches, some of the tag team matches, and also some of his single matches. So I can't wait to talk to JT Dunn today.
That's right. Now, Jonathan, we usually talk about topics on the show. We have, you know, evergreen topics, things that just never die, discussions between pro wrestling fans, marks, ourselves. But Jonathan, today we're going to talk a little bit about TLC coming up this weekend.
Oh my God, I love them. Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Jonathan. Tables, ladders, and chairs, baby.
He's a creep.
Tables, ladders, and chairs. Not Left Eye. Come on.
Oh my God, this is ridiculous. I was. You told me this week we're talking TLC. I got all ready. I've been listening to Crazy, Sexy, Cool for about a month now. And now you're telling me that we have to talk about tables, ladders, and chairs. Luckily for you, not only am I a TLC, the band, aficionado, I'm also pretty good about talking about tables, ladders, and chairs. So What do you want? What are we talking tables, ladders, and chairs for?
Well, Jonathan, there's a lot going on. Before we even talk about the card that's happening this weekend, let's go back a little bit. Let's talk. You know, talk about the match itself. Has Jonathan, right off the top, has the TLC pay-per-view ruined the excitement for of the TLC match in general? Do you think that, you know, kind of like with the Money in the Bank, you know, how that was, you know, on its own at WrestleMania, and now it's like a pay-per-view, and I don't know. Do you think just this whole pay-per-view coming up has ruined that?
I think that having an entire pay-per-view dedicated to TLC, but then not really having it dedicated to TLC, like, This year there's a chairs match, and last year there was a stairs match, and it was really, really just terrible. It seems forced. I think that you could have a pay-per-view, any pay-per-view. You could have, you know, Royal Rumble or Night of Champions or Payback or whatever you want to have, and just have a TLC match. I don't think that there needs to be an entire pay-per-view devoted to the idea of a TLC match. With that being said, I always have enjoyed TLC matches. I think that they're great, except for the fact that you always worry about people having to top the last TLC match. But luckily for us and luckily for them, not all of them have been winners. There's been some really great TLC matches, but there's also been some kind of stinkers out there. But Steve, what are your thoughts about the TLC pay-per-view?
No, yeah, Jonathan, I it's just exactly like what you were saying, too. You know, it's kind of, you're taking, like, the gimmick matches and now just making them gimmick pay-per-views. You know, they get rid of the King of the Ring and they replace it with things like Fastlane and all this. And this is, you know, at least just WWE. I think when you have this concept of TLC, it shouldn't just be used once a year. It should be used, I don't know, like in a match maybe on Raw, a match on a pay-per-view. I don't think dedicating a whole pay-per-view to this is worth it, especially when you have a pay-per-view called Extreme Rules, to where it's pretty much the same exact pay-per-view, just a different name. You're still using tables, you're still using ladders, and you're still using chairs. So, I don't know. I mean, granted, it's fun to watch this. It's fun to see some of the hardcore, quote-unquote, stuff that they do. But it's definitely not like what it used to be, Jonathan. If we could talk about some of that, you know, some of the matches of all time, some of your favorite matches of all time. I mean, can you go back and is there any match in recent history that, you know, you come across and you're like, wow, this kind of sets the bar for a TLC match?
Absolutely. It was Extreme Rules, I want to say 2014. It was the WLC match between Hornswoggle and El Torito.
No.
If you remember, there was a Booker Wee, no, I'm just kidding. That was an amazing, amazing match. But for me, you know, there's probably some purists out there that are going to say, you know, I know exactly what match he's going to say. Maybe you don't, because I'm talking Night of Champions, 2006, Edge versus John Cena. It kind of put the punctuation mark on the feud between Edge and John Cena, and I think, in my heart of hearts, that TLC match was the greatest TLC match in the history of TLC matches. It had everything. Like I said, it was really the culmination of one of the best feuds of professional wrestling history. And spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, John Cena wins by attitude-adjusting Edge through two or three tables off of a ladder. So,
Jonathan, how could you not even bring up my favorite TLC match of all time? And that has to be the Edge and Christian versus the Hardy Boys versus the Dudley Boys at WrestleMania 2000. This was pretty much the first TLC match. It just wasn't called a TLC match, but it had tables, it had ladders, and it had chairs. This set the bar for all this stuff, Jonathan. This definitely set the tone for the next, you know, 15 years right now of TLC matches.
Obviously, that match is the standard bearer for all of the TLC matches that you know, happened after that. I think it was amazing, but look at that. That was six people versus what I said, Edge versus John Cena. So six versus two. Look what those two guys did. And that's, you know, the first match was just crazy. It was a car wreck. It was, you know, there was bodies everywhere and stuff. I like it when it's more focused. And to be honest, I like my TLC matches like I like most of my ladder matches, between people that are kind of more of that middleweight. You know, they're not the huge big guys, because to be honest, whenever you look back and look at Money in the Bank matches or whatever, you're going to be able to argue that some of the greatest ladder matches of all time, Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon. Yeah, Razor Ramon was a bigger guy, but you had Shawn Michaels who was, you know, a smaller guy. He was able to move around quick or whatever. So I think that the TLC match is more of a better concept when you have those smaller, quicker competitors. What I mean, you picked this six-man tag, and it's easily argued that Edge, Christian, and the Hardys are both kind of those smaller guys where the Dudleys were bigger. Do you think that it matters in those matches? Do you like the smaller guys in the TLC matches, or are you more of a anybody can do well in these matches?
You know, that's what it needs. It needs that balancing act to where you need the heavy hitters, if you will. You need the high flyers. You know, you need the guys that balance each other out. You know what I mean? So one guy's flipping off a ladder, or you know, getting speared off a ladder like Edge did with Jeff Hardy. You know, you have the brawn, the muscles of it with the Dudleys.
Braun Strowman?
Not Braun Strowman, not yet. I couldn't imagine that match. But, yeah, you know, you definitely need that complement of wrestlers in these kind of matches, because, granted, trust me, I would love to see a high flyer versus a high flyer, but they're going to run out of gas by the end of the show. You need to have that strong man. You need to have that cruiserweight. You need to have, you know, the guy, the middle, the mid-carder, the middle guy in between. And that just right there makes the perfect match, because, you know, there's so many things going on in these kind of matches that, you know, you don't want to see everybody flying off the ladder, even though, trust me, that'd probably be cool. You don't want to make it into a spot fest. But, you know, you definitely need the compliments of the different kind of wrestlers. And that's what I think will make these matches even better going forward. So,
well, and I want to ask another question. We're looking at TLC this Sunday. We'll get into that a little bit in a little bit. But my question to you is, how come we haven't seen any women's TLC type matches? Do you think that people just aren't interested in that, or do you think they'd be interested in it if we got to see it?
That's a good question. You know, that, man, I don't know. I think I would like to see it, but I honestly, and man, this is not putting down the women at all, but I guess this day and age, I think the women coming in now, the women in rising up the ranks in WWE, and especially not just WWE, but all over, women's wrestling has stepped up like tenfold since, you know, 10 years ago, let alone 5 years ago. And, you know, I don't think they've just realize that with the caliber of women they have now, that they can kind of pull off a great match, I think, like this. And I don't know, I think maybe they're just afraid to pull the gun on it. You know, it's never really been done to that extent, to where it's been that kind of, you know, craziness in the ring like all these other TLC matches. But I think now, you know, especially with that Sasha and Bayley match going back to NXT in New York City a few months ago, and that wasn't a TLC match, but I mean, you know, coming off that kind of a match, just adding a table in there, a ladder in there, you know, I couldn't imagine what else these girls could do. So I think, you know, never say never in pro wrestling, and I definitely think, I would hope within the next few years we could see this kind of match come to fruition, if you will. I'm using big words now, Jonathan, I gotta get my Wikipedia out. But yeah, I don't know, I think today they can, but you know, a few years ago when you had like Eve Torres and all these other kinds, like, you know, they're not gonna really do anything crazy. But I think just the range of women they have today, I think it would definitely work, and hopefully we'll see something like that. I don't know. I don't think they don't want to pull that trigger, I guess.
You got pretty excited when I asked about the women's TLC matches.
I did, man, because I was just thinking about it. At first, I was like, well, but wait a minute. Then I'm thinking about Sasha Banks, and then Bayley, just their match that they had, and I'm like, well, then you had Charlotte, then you had Paige. Then I'm like, wow, this is going to be a good match, and it sucks that it's not happening this weekend, but maybe we can entice future people out there. And anybody listening out there, what do you think about a Divas TLC match? Do you think we could think it could happen? Let us know. And everybody out there, please tweet us at @AWrestlingPod. Follow us, you know, tweet us. Let us know. Hey, if you don't tweet, I'm sure you're probably on Facebook, so make sure you head on over to facebook.com/anotherwrestlingpodcast. Just go to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. All the links are up there. Let us know while you're listening to the show so we can, you know, get some feedback from you.
And it's going to be very important in the coming weeks to follow us, to tweet us, to like us, and all that stuff, because there's going to be some stuff coming from the Global Force Wrestling, you know, giveaways and all that. So you want to definitely make sure that you follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook for all the up-to-date information.
But Jonathan, joining us in the studio right now is the Juice, JT Dunn, one half of Death by Elbow. I can get wicked.
If you don't know who our guest is today, you will soon. He's been making waves on the wrestling scene ever since he's arrived. He's a singles wrestling star, a tag team specialist. He can also go intergender if you're into that sort of thing. Ladies and gentlemen, please help us welcome Mr. JT Dunn.
Oh man, what a great introduction.
Well, welcome to another wrestling podcast. And first off, we want to say happy birthday. And thanks for coming on the show. How are you doing today?
Man, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. I'm doing really well, man. I'm doing really well.
Awesome. So, you know, we're based out of the Northeast, where you spend a lot of time wrestling. For people who may not be familiar of your wrestling, can you tell us a little bit about how you got into the wrestling business?
Yeah, well, this is, I'm about to be 26. I started training when I was 16. Here in New England, and I kind of flip-flopped for a couple of years, just kind of finding my way, looking for guidance. And then about 4.5 years ago, I found a guy by the name of Dave Cole, who is a very, very popular wrestler here in New England. I remember watching his old stuff from Hybrid Wrestling with a lot of guys who are kind of on top of wrestling right now. He kind of crossed through that path. But Dave was the first guy who kind of really took me under his wing and showed me wrestling the way it should have been. And that kind of led me into 2011, where I linked up with Beyond Wrestling. And, I mean, it's crazy to think that it's 2015 now, and all the cool things that I've been able to do in wrestling. But really, man, a lot of that goes to Dave Cole.
Now, obviously everybody has their what got them hooked on professional wrestling. So when did you start liking professional wrestling?
Honestly, I guess I kind of always had an eye for it, but it was never something I went out of my way to watch. I played football my whole life and kind of just grew up watching football. And it's kind of everything I surrounded myself with, kind of the way I do with wrestling now. But I always had an eye for the Macho Man, Randy Savage, and X-Pac. So like kind of completely opposite ends of the spectrum. But for some reason, those guys always appealed to me. And maybe when I was around like 14, 15 years old, that's probably when I started watching it more consistently and getting emotionally invested in what was going on. And then it wasn't until many years later that I was kind of like smart into the way wrestling really is. But I was a very late fan. I'm actually now like going back on the network and watching a lot of the stuff that I remember kind of glancing through when I was younger and not really understanding. I just remember like the Attitude Era. I don't remember really what happened throughout then. I just remember that DX was big, and I remember Stone Cold beating up Vince a lot. So now I'm kind of going back watching all of it, and my mind is blown from the stuff that I had no clue ever happened or the stuff they got away with on TV.
Sure. Now, back in the days of tape trading, people had to go out of their way and you know, get VHS tapes to see their favorite superstars. Today, we have the WWE Network, numerous wrestling video sites, YouTube. If you could recommend maybe a few matches of yours for people to watch to maybe get a taste of JT Dunn, what would you recommend?
Oh man, I think some of the good ones that are online that really show what I'm about is there's a couple of matches with A.R. Fox up there that I'm very proud of. Him and I just work together very well, and we kind of find a way to implement all of our styles in wrestling in every match. So it's not the same old thing. Fox is awesome. I got some really good ones up there with Johnny Gargano, Austin Aries. There's a fun one up there with Ethan Carter III, some with Samoa Joe. Like, there's some really cool matches that are up there. I mean, I have pride in a lot of my work. as of now. So I'm confident enough that if somebody just went on YouTube and searched my name, they're going to, I mean, there's probably some really bad stuff from years and years ago. but I'm confident now if they find recent stuff, man, they'll, I think they'll dig it.
Awesome. Now, you're currently wrestling on the independent scene, which is just exploded over the past couple of years. What are some of the biggest challenges for maybe you that come from being an independent wrestler?
Are you talking like within wrestling or just being a wrestler in general?
Just being like an independent wrestler, like personally and professionally, what are some of the biggest challenges that you have?
I really enjoy the independent wrestler aspect in life. I've done many things before wrestling really kind of took over, and this is like the only thing I've never really worried about. I don't know if that's a weird way to put it or anything like that, but I mean, I'm satisfied in what I do, and I know what it takes to go into it. So like having to go to the gym consistently, being on the road traveling. Yeah, like sacrificing a ton of things, like missing holidays or anything like that. Like, I'm just so accustomed to it now that, I mean, to other people, that sounds like hardships and like things they don't want to have to deal with. But I mean, I'm just so used to it at this point. But I mean, in any job or anything like that, there's always going to be negative aspects, like dealing with the dramatic side of it where he said, she said things and everything. And I get speculated and blown up even more due to like people's outreach on social media. So I mean that part kind of sucks all the time. I mean, that's life.
Sure. Now, you mentioned traveling and, you know, the life on the road for a wrestler that comes with the business. Do you have any, you know, some of the greatest lessons you've learned, or maybe, you know, some of the things that you learned that you kind of wish you knew before you became a professional wrestler?
Oh yeah, man. When I first got into wrestling, I was probably one of the most hated people in New England, because I came from a football background, and I had a very good life with football. And I assumed that everything, just because I was a man, I was a human, like everything I accomplished in a different sport, I figured that would travel over when I started wrestling, and it would be I would be shown the same level of respect because of all the years that I dedicated to football. And then it took me a long time to realize that that's not a thing, that doesn't happen. So I made like a lot of enemies, and that's why I was so grateful when I finally met Dave. And that was years after being involved in wrestling. So I spent a long time in the doghouse, and I just kind of didn't know what to do. I didn't even know what I was doing was really wrong. And Dave pulled me aside one day and just kind of laid it out for me and just told me, like, if you don't smart up, man, they're going to like, you're going to be done wrestling real fast. I mean, I wish somebody would have did that for me years ago, just explained etiquette, respect, the rules, because there's rules that everybody kind of goes by, and there's just unwritten rules that you know if you know, and I didn't know any of those, and I broke every single one of them.
Now, we mentioned it earlier, as far as your wrestling style goes, you're a very successful singles wrestler, tag wrestler, and intergender wrestler. Do you find it difficult kind of switching between all those different types, or is it once you're good at one, you're kind of good at all of them?
I mean, they all are definitely very different, but I don't think I approach any of them with a different mindset. Like when I'm doing let's say a singles match with a guy as opposed to an intergender match where I'm wrestling against a female, I don't approach it like it's any different, because it's just a professional wrestling match. I know that the person I'm in there with has sacrificed and trained and overcome obstacles the same way that I did. So I'm not going to treat one worse than the other because they're male or female. And I think that's something that really helped me stand out a couple of years back. I mean, even in the last year with a lot of the intergender work that I did. I mean, there's always going to be a downside because it's a man hitting a woman and a woman hitting a man. But I think I did it in such a creative, tasteful way that I kind of really flew under the radar when people throw out a lot of the critiques and the negative aspects of intergender male and female wrestling. But I think like the fans who appreciate it really know how far I went to just make everybody that was involved love it as much as possible. pain. Tag team wrestling itself is its own wild beast. It's crazy because there's so many more elements involved into it, and there's a different level of thinking, because not only do I have to think for myself, but I have to think for my tag partner and cover his mistakes and be willing to know that he's going to cover mine if I make some. And right now, I'm completely lucky to be teaming with Chris Hero. So I'm learning from one of the best that's pretty much ever done it.
Sure. And just briefly about the intergender wrestling, you know, was it difficult for you to watch Kimberly during her match against Chris Dickinson earlier this year?
It's uncomfortable, yeah, because it's just a person being hit in the head with a chair and thrown across the room. Like, that sucks. But, I mean, she's very smart, and she wouldn't put herself in a situation that that she didn't believe that she could come back from. And she's a trained professional wrestler. I've seen her give out far worse. So, I mean, it's really, it's just wrestling.
All right, well, we're going to have a little bit more with JT Dunn here, but I want to talk to you, Steve. It is the holiday season. I know we're both December birthdays, so I know that you've probably went out and you've already bought my present, but if you have not, then you're a terrible friend. But if you have not, there's still time for you to make my birthday, my Christmas, my holiday an amazing one, and that is by going over to ProWrestlingCrate.com. What is ProWrestlingCrate.com, you ask? Well, I'm about to tell you. It is a monthly pro wrestling crate that you get at your door with all different kinds of things in it. Everything from t-shirts to bottle openers to coasters, you name it. It's inside this magical pro wrestling crate. Steve, last week we actually opened up one of the crates, and it was curated by Mick Foley, none other than Mick Foley, and it did not disappoint.
That's right, Jonathan. I'll tell you, I never did any of these crate kind of things. I've seen them before. You know, they got the Star Wars one, and then I was like, what am I going to do with, like, 20 things of Star Wars? And I was like, then I heard about Pro Wrestling Crate, and I was still skeptical. But when we opened the box last week, man, I'll tell you what, I was like, I thought you were going to get, like, a pen, you know. You get great merchandise. I'll tell you this. Like, this is the first time I ever had any kind of crate, and this was my first pro wrestling crate. And, you know, I'm a big Mick Foley fan. I'm a big Cactus Jack fan. And not only did we get one t-shirt, we got two t-shirts in there. We got a Dude Love coaster, Dude Love bottle opener. A Cheap Pop bottle opener. We said everything that we had on there. But it's just great merchandise, especially if you're a wrestling fan. Stuff that you just really don't find anywhere else, it's safe to say. And Jonathan, it's all in one little crate. I mean, I was skeptical at first, but, you know, I am now a full-time subscriber to this Pro Wrestling Crate.
Well, like I said, if you want any more information about Pro Wrestling Crate, go to ProWrestlingCrate.com. You can follow them on Twitter at PWCrate, and you can also follow them on Instagram at ProWrestlingCrate. They're amazing, and I highly suggest that you be a hero this holiday season and pick up your very own Pro Wrestling Crate.
Now, Jonathan, everybody listening to JT Dunn today, we're going to get back to him in a little bit, but if you're listening to the show right now, head on over to our YouTube page, which is youtube.com/anotherwrestlingpod. You can only fit so many characters, so it's another wrestling POD on YouTube. Subscribe to us, because every interview that we have on this show, we also upload on our YouTube page. But, Jonathan, we also have YouTube exclusives. We have indie spotlights. We have us on the road, Jonathan, at different shows interviewing different wrestlers. So there's a lot of great videos on there, a lot of great content that you probably haven't even heard yet. So head on over to youtube.com/anotherwrestlingpod and subscribe to us, because why the hell not?
Absolutely. Now, Steve, this Sunday is WWE's TLC. It is emanating from the TD Bank Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. So for any of you that are listening right now, maybe you're in Boston, maybe you're on your way to Boston, you know, feel free to talk to us while you're there. Tweet us, talk to us on Facebook, let us know how your TLC experience has gone. But I think it's fair for us to kind of get into some of these matches. Let's talk about this. So I'm going to start with the big one. It's obvious to me. The WWE Championship match, Sheamus versus Roman Reigns in a TLC match. Now, we talked a little bit about this earlier. This is two bigger guys. I don't think you're going to see a lot of flying, but you're going to see some heavy hitting. So who do you have in this match, Sheamus or Roman Reigns?
Well, I'll tell you, Jonathan, I mean, you know, in recent news, this is the first time I think I've, you know, this has really been making the news, really, is the ratings. And, you know, Seth Rollins was injured, they crowned a new champion, Sheamus, and now we have Sheamus versus Roman Reigns. This feud, man, I don't know, it's just, it's not clicking with me. Granted, I don't really hate either of these guys, it's just, I don't know. I'm kind of sick of seeing the heel champ, and I just think they're running on fumes with this, and it barely has even started. So I'm going to tell you right now, I'm gonna say, hey, they're going to give it to Roman Reigns this Sunday. I think he's going to pull a win out and beat Sheamus. I think we'll see a new champion this Sunday. But, Jonathan, I don't want to get too much into it, but it's going to be in Boston, and there's one guy who's really not on this card that could we see a somewhat of a surprise return by John Cena doing anything?
There is obviously always a chance whenever WWE is in town, and John Cena has been out for a while, so there's a chance that that may happen. But I think that I'm relying on Sheamus to win this Sunday because he's got his newly formed group with Rusev, Alberto Del Rio, and Wade Barrett. I think that they're somehow going to get involved. But I like Sheamus. I like Roman Reigns, too. I have nothing against the guy. But Sheamus, for me, is one of those people that no matter what he's done since he's been in WWE, now he's been a champion, Money in the Bank winner. He's dedicated. He's done it all in the WWE. But people just don't seem to like him. And I really enjoy his work. I think he's good. I don't think that he's, you know, the best yet, but I think that he's got some staying power in the WWE. So I'm absolutely pulling for Sheamus this week, and it has nothing to do that we both have red hair.
All right, well, Jonathan, let's shake it up a little bit. We went from the top of the card, why don't we just go down to the bottom of the card most, and how about the WWE Divas Championship, Charlotte versus Paige? This was quite interesting on Raw. They kind of flipped the script, if you will. On this,
no one says that anymore.
But on their characters. What do you think about this match, Jonathan? Are we going to see some kind of classic match from these women, or what? I mean, this Divas Revolution has kind of been fizzling out. What do you think?
You know, I think that we're going to see something that I'm happy that we're going to see right now. A lot of people are complaining about the WWE product. You mentioned that earlier. WWE Divas right now are still in that mode where they want to prove that they belong, that they're great. And I think that you're going to see that. Charlotte and Paige, this rivalry turned pretty personal with bringing Ric Flair. Also, there was the thing where they talked about Charlotte's brother who passed away. I think that this is going to be a great match. Like I said, a little sad that they didn't make some sort of stipulation out of this. But I think it's going to be great, and I almost think that Becky is going to get involved in somehow and is going to cause Paige to defeat Charlotte, and then Charlotte goes full-blown heel and attacks Becky, which kind of sets up a Becky-Paige, some sort of feud there.
Sure, yeah, anything definitely to shake this up a little bit. I'm a Paige fan. Haven't really cared too much about Charlotte's reign. I mean, she hasn't really done too much except for just turn heel day by day, but she's still a face, but she's turning heel. I don't know. It's kind of confusing, but either way, I hope Paige pulls out the victory. Jonathan, too little, too late, too soon, or whatever you want to say, we could have had this at Survivor Series, but now we're having it at TLC. We have the Dudleys, Tommy Dreamer, and Rhino versus the Wyatt family in a tables match. Jonathan, I'm a big Wyatt family fan. Unfortunately, I've hated what they have done to all of them the past few months. Jonathan, they've been also called glorified jobbers. Is it about time the Wyatt family gets some credibility, gets some kind of a big win this weekend?
the Wyatts need a win. There's no better place for them to do that than in a tables match. They're going against the kings of the tables match, so I think it would really go far to let the Wyatts get a win in this. You know, I've been a fan of the Wyatts since they came in. I loved that they had Harper and Rowan. I really wish that they would have won the tag team championship. I think adding Braun Strowman is a really cool addition, but I just, like you said, they haven't really got any big wins in recent, you know, history. So I'm all for a Wyatt win. And, you know, I would love to see more from this faction. I think the worst thing that happened was when they broke up, you know, Bray and Harper and Rowan, and then Rowan kind of went face for a while, then he went heel, and so it was just very confusing. But they're back at it now, and there's no better time for them to get a win.
That's right, Jonathan. And, you know, I kind of see a little pattern going on with us right now. What we're talking about in all these matches is definitely change. You know, we're not saying, oh, I hope the champion wins. We want the other person to win. We want the underdog, the person, you know, coming in to win this. And I think that's kind of the consensus of a lot of fans right now. I think we're getting too much of the same thing, and especially this next match, the United States Championship, Alberto Del Rio versus Jack Swagger in a chair match. Jonathan, how many times have we seen these guys go back and forth before Del Rio was on his little extended vacation? I mean, now we're back to Del Rio versus Swagger. Swagger's been hanging out backstage for God knows how long, and now they finally have him in a good feud. They finally, you know, are being able to do something with him. Do we see Swagger walk away with the U.S. Championship or what?
I don't know, but I think that there's no worse way to have a stipulation than to say, all right, here you go. You guys are going to fight, but chairs are legal. So there was no reason. Like, he didn't step on Swagger's leg with the chair. He didn't, like, hit him in the head with the chair before this. Like, they just threw this stipulation in because, once again, like I said, it's a TLC, TLC pay-per-view. So I think that this doesn't need a stipulation. It could just be an old-school kind of feud. And I see now Zeb turning on Del Rio, possibly, and, you know, Swagger walking away. I don't know that they'll take the championship away from Del Rio, especially because he's in the new faction, but I can definitely see Swagger winning this match on Sunday.
Yeah, Jonathan, I'm going to say the same thing, man. I kind of want to see that change. I mean, I don't think Del Rio needs the title. I mean, he's not really... Not that he's not doing anything with it, it's just that I don't think he needs it, you know what I mean? I think he's above the U.S. Championship right now, and I don't know, they kind of... Anyway, I don't want to argue about it, how they gave it to him after Cena, and they lost all that momentum to give it to somebody else, yada, 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 and now we're at TLC, and that's what's going to happen. So, regardless, hopefully we see a Jack Swagger victory.
Absolutely. Now, here's the match that I'm really looking forward to. I think that you're going to get, you know, for those of you who tune in to TLC just to see some crazy things happen, this is where you're going to get it. It is the WWE Tag Team Championship match. It is a triple threat ladder match. You have New Day, Lucha Dragons, and the Usos. There's a lot of high flyers there. There's a lot of things that could happen and a lot of things that could go wrong. Let's hope for the best. I don't want to see anybody get hurt. The WWE is in need of wrestlers now more than ever. So I think that out of this, just because if anybody wins other than New Day, it's going to be the Usos. I don't see them giving the championship to Lucha Dragons. But I really believe that New Day is going to still walk away the tag team champion.
Well, Jonathan, you know, this match I think could possibly be one of the show stealers just because of the age, just because of the young guys on here, and just because I think they all want to step it up and prove themselves, especially for the Lucha Dragons. I love Kalisto. The Usos are just returning, so I'm sure they want to, you know, be careful not get injured again. And you know, the New Day have been on fire since they've been back, or since they've formed, since they just kind of let loose. But Jonathan, I even think that they're probably even above the tag team championship right now. I personally would like to see the Lucha Dragons get it, just to give it to somebody else, give them a chance to shine for a little bit, and it gives the New Day a new feud. But I don't know. I think this match is going to be one of the matches of the night just because of all the guys involved in it. So I'm hoping for, you know, a fun match out of this. This is going to be like the classic, like I said, that first TLC match, the Hardys, the Dudleys and Edge and Christian. It's kind of going to be like that thing where these young guys are kind of, you know, itching for some spotlight, and they're all going to get it in this match. So I'm excited for it. I can't wait to see it. And I'm pulling for the Lucha Dragons, though.
New Day wins. New
Lucha,
Day wins.
Lucha, Lucha.
So, and this brings us down to, and I don't think
the real main event.
Yeah, I don't think this happened on accident. We saved the best for last. The Intercontinental Championship match, Kevin Owens versus Dean Ambrose. I don't think that if, you know, anybody said that this was going to be happening 5 years ago, that in 2015 you're going to have Kevin Owens versus Dean Ambrose, they wouldn't have believed you. But it's going to be an awesome match. It's for the Intercontinental Championship. So far, there's been no stipulation added to this, and I don't know that you need it. But, you know, with that being said, both these guys are great. I'm really looking forward to this match, and I think probably you're going to see Kevin Owens retain, but I wouldn't be upset to see Dean Ambrose take the title away for a while.
Yeah, Jonathan, this is going to be great. I think this is the start of many matches to come leading to WrestleMania. I think this will cumulate. I don't know how to talk anymore. This will cumulate at WrestleMania, I think, with Dean Ambrose pinning Kevin Owens for the IC belt. I think this is one of the first of many matches they're going to have in the next few months. Just let alone the promos between Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose for the next few months are going to make me tune into Raw. I don't care what else you have on TV. I don't care if you have a puppy show, a puppy fest. Jerry Lawler brings back the puppies. I don't care. I'm sticking around for the promos from Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose. That's what I'm doing.
Well, and, you know, they've really been kind of pushing these guys. And I think, once again, you've got some of these people who are on the cusp. Obviously, Kevin Owens, I think, could be a main eventer at any moment. You know, you had Dean Ambrose in the Shield. He could definitely be a main eventer at any moment. And I think that these are the types of things people are behind him. It's not for lack of people that like these people. I think it's just that for some weird reason, somebody, a writer or somebody backstage, sees these people and they don't see them as main eventers. And these are the type of matches that I think end up pushing those talents to great, great heights. And, you know, I'm ready to see Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose in the main event.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, this is, I mean, a lot of people, they haven't really used Dean Ambrose as much lately. He's kind of been on the back burner because they're really trying to drive home that Roman train. But whatever, you know, you have Kevin Owens versus Dean Ambrose. Like I said, the next few months are going to be great just on promos from these guys. And, you know, this match can lead to a match at the Rumble, which can then, you know, lead to some other matches for the next few months to WrestleMania. Who knows what can happen, but I think your big payoff between these two guys is having Dean Ambrose beat Kevin Owens at WrestleMania, catapulting Kevin Owens into the main event as one of your top heels. So I regardless of whatever happens, I mean, this match right here I think is going to be another one of the most talked about of the night. So I'm kind of excited. I can't wait to see what happens. But Jonathan, I think that's our take on TLC this weekend, right?
Yeah, and he's patiently waiting, but let's get back and let's continue our talk with none other than JT Dunn. Now, as far as, you know, we spoke about your intergender career, but you've also been part of several successful tag teams over the years. Your current tag team partner is none other than Chris Hero. And we've heard you mention in interviews that you really look up to Chris. What's it like working with someone that's meant so much to your career?
It's a dream come true, man. And honestly, I never thought I would be in these situations in my life. I mean, when we start wrestling and we move forward, we think of dream matches and dream scenarios and guys that we'd love to be in the ring with. And Chris has always been number one in just about every category for me. And when he came back, we were able to share the ring a couple times and then start teaming up. And I knew in that when that was coming up and everything was sort of falling into place, that I needed to sacrifice a few more things because it was worth it to get this knowledge and to be able to be mentored by somebody like Chris. He's made my wrestling just that much more impressive over the last year by just being able to critique me and to have him kind of there whenever I need to.
All right. Now, you know, Death by Elbow has wrestled some of the greatest tag teams out there in 2015. But who are some of the tag teams you haven't gotten a chance to work with that you would like to possibly in the future?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I think one that's kind of cool that's been popping up a lot around the Beyond Wrestling scene is people want to see Death by Elbow versus the Hit Squad, which... Man, I just watched them for the Tournament of Tomorrow 4 at Beyond Wrestling. They won the whole thing. I mean, it blows my mind because it's 2015 and the Hit Squad's still making headlines in professional wrestling. And to see those guys, man, they're so humble and they're so respectful. And just the way they carry themselves is it's crazy because wrestling is a wild monster. And those guys have seen it all. And they're still there passing on knowledge, having on these matches that are just absolutely incredible. So it'd be really cool to get in there with the Hit Squad. And they're just for like nostalgia reasons. And I'd like to do that soon because who knows how long the Hit Squad's going to keep throwing people into walls and stuff. I'd love to get back in there with the Young Bucks. I think our match that we had at American Rana was really, really fun. And it was a culmination for a lot of things for me. I'd like to get in there with them again. We just actually recently shared the ring with the Colony, and that was cool because I've worked with them several times as part of Juicy Product, and then Silver and I have kind of a little rivalry going on over the last couple of years in singles competition. But Hero and I against them, man, it was something. It took our matches from before and brought them to that next level, and we had a great time at Wrestle Jam. And they're guys that I'd like to get in the ring with a lot more often.
Awesome. Now, for most people who get into the wrestling business, WWE is the main goal. With so many of your friends and peers either coming there or going from there, would you be disappointed if you never made it to the WWE?
No, I wouldn't. I don't know. I don't know what life has in store for me in that aspect, if I'm supposed to go to the WWE or whatnot. I mean, only time will tell, and I kind of get to carve my own path there. And if it's somewhere that I want to go, then I know how to get there. And if it's something that I'm not interested in, then my path just won't take me there. But man, I would be content right now with wrestling stuff. I've done so many cool, amazing things. And seen so many amazing places, and I have so many memories I can hold on to. And this is all something that I never really thought was going to turn into anything this serious. I mean, hopefully I have many more years to come in professional wrestling. But man, I love it. I'm back in Providence right now and running a school again. So it's like everything is kind of just falling back into place. And I feel really good about wrestling right now.
Definitely. You know, now a lot of mainstream wrestling has come under fire lately with what many fans are saying is a lack of creativity. What are a few things that are currently wrong with maybe mainstream wrestling these days? Do you have any opinion on that with what they're doing?
Man, I think everybody is just, they're too involved in being a critic. And I think they kind of just need to sit back and let everything unfold. There's nothing wrong with what they're doing because they're the ones who kind of dictate the pace on what actually happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't say that I keep up with everything as much as I used to. But from what I see, and I just watched recently, man, I'm entertained. There's guys on there who were told that they were never going to be on TV. They were never going to be successful in wrestling. And there they are, changing everything that we know about wrestling. And I think that's something that's really cool. And when we get little glimpses of hopes like that, I think people tend to forget about it after a while and kind of fall back into hating everything until we're getting something a little bit like that. But man, I'm happy with the way wrestling is overall. Like everything you see on TV, I mean, it's great. Everybody's working hard. Man, there's always going to be silly characters and silly storylines and stuff like that. But you just got to really appreciate it for what it is.
Sure.
Now, we mentioned earlier that you get to wrestle a lot in the Northeast, and we get to see, you know, all over the place. You mentioned Beyond Wrestling, but soon you'll be appearing for Northeast Wrestling. You will be going against somebody named Flip Gordon. Do you have any thoughts on this match or anything that you think he needs to know before you get into the ring with him?
You know what, man? It's really cool to be debuting for Northeast Wrestling. It's been a place that I've wanted to get into for a very long time, and I'm happy that it's finally happening. But Flip Gordon, man, I think he already knows who I am. He's seen a lot of me recently, especially coming back up here to the Northeast and really just giving my hands back into the pot. I think he knows. He knows what to expect. He knows I'm going to bring my best. I mean, he's been there before, I believe. So he kind of, I kind of notice when he's at places, he falls into a little groove and kind of just does his thing. And that's not my style. So when I get there and I kind of show him exactly what professional wrestling really is, I think it's going to hit him pretty hard.
Lightning round.
2015 was an amazing year for you. What does 2016 have in store?
Everything and then some.
All right. All right. What is the number one thing you want for Christmas?
Oh, man. I want a healthy body.
Awesome. Now, you mentioned you were a huge football fan. Favorite NFL team?
Detroit Lions.
Aside from Death by Elbow, who has the second best elbow in the history of pro wrestling?
Oh, come on. I'm a sour man.
Now, past and present, who would your dream matches be against? So, somebody from the past and somebody that's currently wrestling today.
I have to say past would be the Macho Man Randy Savage. And present, oh, man. You know what? I would probably say, as you're talking like right in this moment.
Yep.
I'm gonna go with Kevin Owens. I feel that would be awesome, and it's something I really wished happened beforehand, before he went up there to do big things. That would be a really cool one.
All right. You are known as JT the Juice Dunn. What is your favorite kind of juice? we go all out on the lightning round question, so
I like it. I have to say I'm an orange juice fan.
We want to thank you so much for coming on today. We know that you've got a lot of social media presence, maybe some t-shirt sales and all that stuff, so can you tell us where we can find all that?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're looking for shirts, you can go to prowrestlingtees.com/JT Dunn. There's a bunch of cool ones up there. There's one that says, who did you ever beat? And it says addiction on the bottom. And that's kind of a special one for me because I overcame my battle with addiction. And all the shirts that are purchased there of that style, all the proceeds are donated to charity to help other people with their battle with addiction. So I kind of favor that one a little bit more than the rest. But there's some really cool Death by Elbow ones up there and everything. You can follow me on Twitter at @TheJuice, and the juice has 3 E's at the end of it. I'm all over Facebook. Just search JT Dunn. Same with Instagram and all that. About me is on YouTube. I have my own YouTube channel. There's a bunch of matches on there and clips and a bunch of free content. And, I mean, last point I can make is I'm back in Providence, Rhode Island, and if you're interested in training to be a professional wrestler, you can come down every Monday and Wednesday to 681 Broadway in Providence, Rhode Island, and you can learn pro wrestling from myself, Matt Taven, Vinny Marsilia, and Mike Bennett. We got a cool thing happening down there, and a lot of dedicated and hungry students that are ready to break out in the Northeast.
Awesome. Well, Jonathan, we'll probably have to head on over there and check it out one day.
Yeah, as long as no one hits me, I think I'm good.
Well, JT, man, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much, and we wish you nothing but the best of luck in the months and years to come with your career.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me.
All right, well, we want to thank JT Dunn for coming on the show today. Look out for him. he is going to be coming to a town near you, I'm sure. He is high-flying. He's energetic. He is an amazing independent wrestler. I'm hoping for nothing but the best for Mr. JT Dunn in the future.
That's right. Now, Jonathan, once again, if you're just tuning in, I don't know how you missed the beginning of the show, because, Jonathan, we're from Poughkeepsie. It's our backyard. And on January 22nd, 2016, just under 6 weeks away or so, we're going to have the Northeast debut of Global Force Wrestling at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie, New York. If you don't have tickets, tickets go on sale today. Make sure you head on over to MidHudsonCivicCenter.org. Make sure you head on over to GlobalForceWrestling.com. But more importantly, Jonathan, make sure you stay tuned to all of our social media, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook. All that information is on AnotherWrestlingPodcast.com. We're going to be giving away tickets for the show. We're also going to be a part of the VIP Q&A. There's going to be a VIP Q&A at 5:30, which we're going to have some of the Global Force Wrestling superstars prior to the show talking with me and you, Jonathan. And we're going to get questions from the audience. We're going to get questions from you, the fans out there. And what better way than social media, Jonathan? If you guys tweet us or Facebook us, stay tuned to the show. We'll tell you what to do. And, you know, hey, we could read your question at the show, even if you can't attend the show.
That's right. But most importantly, stay tuned to Another Wrestling Podcast. Keep up with Global Force Wrestling. And, you know, we're looking forward to seeing all of you, meeting some of you, coming out and just supporting local wrestling at its finest. So come on out and really stay tuned.
And if you like our show, guys, make sure to check out some of our friends. Check out Main Event Marks. Head on over to Facebook.com/Main Event Marks. You can join Angry Cooter and his panel of smart Main Event Marks every Thursday at 9 p.m. for an uncensored show for the Marks by the Marks.
That's right, and we are here to spread the wealth. If you love professional wrestling, we urge you to go over to PWPNation.com. PWP Nation is a wrestling media website and community that loves professional wrestling. They strive on creating an array of interesting articles and reviews on everything professional wrestling. Head on over to PWPNation.com.
Also, be sure to head on over to ProWrestlingSheet.com. It launched in August of this year, and it strives to report on the stories you actually care about in the world of professional wrestling, not just clickbait filling most news sites. Founder and editor-in-chief Ryan Satin previously worked as a senior producer for TMZ.com, where he has helped the company become a force in wrestling reporting, largely in part to his exclusive stories he landed on a constant basis. Make sure you head on over to ProWrestlingSheet.com.
Well, that's the show. We want to thank you all for listening today.
Every week we do this show free of charge for you, the fans.
If you're wondering how to repay us, we have just the thing.
Subscribe to us on iTunes, and while you're there, be sure to rate us and give us a good review.
And if you're looking for more information about AWP, then head on over to AnotherWrestlingPodcast.com.
We are all over social media, and you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and more.
And if you're an AWP super fan, you can go show your support by going over to ProWrestlingTees.com and buying one of our official AWP shirts.
We couldn't do this show without you, so tune in next week for
Another Wrestling Podcast.